In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. In this year B of our lectionary cycle, we hear the Gospel of John interspersed with Mark. And in August, in year B, it's always what clergy call the month of bread. Because we hear, I am the bread of life, all through August. So Jesus continues his discourse on the bread of life this morning with these words. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Now to our ears, these are life-giving words. We ingest them in the context of the Eucharist. We understand these words to be our invitation into the most intimate and personal relationship we can possibly have with Christ through the consuming of his body and blood in the bread and wine of Eucharist. But to the first century Jews of Jesus's time, these words were anything but life-giving. These words sent them reeling because they broke every dietary and holiness law in the books. You see, the Jewish people of Jesus' day heard these words literally because they literally lived by the holiness code found in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. And according to the holiness code, the flesh of an animal could be consumed, but only after the blood had been completely drained from it. Blood could never, ever, ever be consumed, because blood is the source of life. And if blood is the source of life, it is sacred. And since all life comes from God and belongs to God, drinking life was out of the question. Blood was to be sacrificed only. A blood sacrifice was the highest offering that could be made to God. And there's numerous examples to follow that up in the Old Testament about blood sacrifices. When the ark lands on the mountaintop after 40 days, the first thing Noah does is make a blood sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. Circumcision was a sacrificial sign of man's covenant with God. And Abraham was ready to sacrifice Isaac's blood, his own son, to demonstrate his obedience to God. But this morning, God says, that's no longer necessary. Man is no longer to offer a blood sacrifice to God. God has turned the tables this morning, and a new covenant with humanity will soon begin. God is offering us God's ultimate sacrifice, and he's offering it through the sacred blood of his only Son. Sacred blood that spilled from the hardwood of the cross for us and for our salvation. And this is the last covenant God can make with us. It won't get any better than this. There's nothing greater God can do to show the depths of God's love for us. I mean, just think about it for a second. Out of pure, unconditional love, God came down, met us where we are, in our full, fractured, and broken humanity. Now, we might not like to think of ourselves as a broken and fractured person, but let's just face the facts. We are. All of us are. We are a fractured and broken people, and we live in a fractured and broken world. And it is our fallibility, our sinfulness, and our brokenness that we bring to this altar every Sunday. Through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, at that very altar, each week, we are made whole again. For me, one of the most moving parts of the Eucharist is the fraction. It's what we call the fraction. It's the point where Father Brian or I will hold the priest's toast above our head and we snap it in two. You know that part? Well, and we snap it in two, and then there's a period of silence. Actually, the prayer book says It's the second longest silence in the prayer book. The only silence that is held longer is at the ordination of a priest before the bishop lays hands on the priest to make them a priest. But it is the second longest held silence in the prayer book. Now why? Why are we holding a silence there? Well, we hold it because of the truth that that action holds. If the priest host is left whole, I can't share it with you. I can't give it to you. The bread can't be distributed to feed the multitudes if it stays whole. It has to be broken. And the same thing is true with the sacred blood from the cross. We could not receive the life-giving agent of the ultimate sacrifice of new life for us if it wasn't shared. So when you come to receive the sacrament this morning, come to this holy table with complete and awesome respect for what you are about to receive. Acknowledge the fact that something in you is broken. Something in you is fractured. Something in all of us is broken and fractured. And the one who sacrificed his life for our sins and the sins of the whole world is the only one who can make you whole again. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Christ's invitation to us this morning is a sacred invitation to have new and unending life in him, and to renew it every week through the last covenant that God has given us. So this morning, let that covenant flow through you. Embrace that covenant with the unconditional love with which it's given. And then prepare yourselves, because the life-giving agent, the divine source of life, the ultimate sacrifice of love, is about to enter your being, and you will be bound to God forever. Amen.